Ma com'era? Ai suoi deputy minister and the rest of the entourage of the department, our interested guests in this session, as well as the committee staff. I think we constitute the required number of the proceedings with the meetings. Yes, in fact, we are not only meeting the threshold to meet to have a meeting, we also do make the quorum. As I have welcomed honorable members, we are meeting today as we close the month of August, which we know that is the month where we celebrate the heroic struggles waged by women of this country, but also we look at the progress made since then, the challenges and the tragedies that will continue. It is only the end of the month, not the end of the campaign against gender-based violence and feminism. It is also a commitment that all of us must make moving forward, that it can never be an event that it's only put on the highlights during the month of August. It must be a consistent, persistent campaign, as we have seen that we are seeing more and more of gruesome acts of femicide, and we need to make sure that we make our mark in whatever respective areas of activity where we are. It is true that this is just one of the pandemics that can no longer be ignored or postponed or be tolerated. And I'm sure with the experiences of what we've seen on this month of August 2021, we should be saying that 365 days, we commit to make sure that this does not become a norm in South Africa. All the kinds of atrocities that we have seen committed against women need to be condemned, but also eradicated and erased in the face of our society. So today it's just a day that marks the end of the commemoration, not the end of the actions on what we have to do. Having said so, before we start our meeting, are there any apologies?
Good morning, Honorable Chair, Honorable Members, and our guest. I've got an apology from my colleague Ari, is not feeling well, so he's not joining us today. And we receive an apology from the Minister. He's attending the NCCC meeting. Thank you, Chair.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you very much, Ms. Boss. You will bear with no honorable members. I'm on that corner where when we started with the Zoom meetings, it was very difficult to communicate from because of the network. I remember at some point there was a long debate that if the chair cannot participate in the meeting but can hear what is happening in the meeting and can write. It became a matter where the committee had to choose in appointing another chair I don't want us to go through that. I think we have gone a long way from that time to now. So when I we continue with the meeting, I will switch off the so that I can consolidate the network. Before we go to the purpose of this meeting, if I'm doing something wrong, you will bear with me.
Sorry, Chair, can I disturb you?
Can I
ask Philo Sobelo to please unmute? Because I keep on muting you, you unmute, you're disturbing the meeting. Philo Sobelo.
Okay. I'm just trying to get something. Okay. Yesterday, I received a letter or a message from is it Mrs. Nomvulaki, but the manager in the committee section, informing us that he has received a letter of resignation or termination of service by Mr. Kweyama Nathi from effect end of September, that the matter has been attended to by her. I wish if I've not asked Honor Mr. Bayama, but with that letter, it means Mr. Bayama is going to be with us between now and the end of September. I wish him all the best on the new endeavors that you will be undertaking from the end of September. Having said so, honorable members, we are here today. You will recall that part of the work that you had made a commitment to this committee as members of the committee, together with the department, were areas of accountability. Amongst those was a concern around issues of spent management. And therefore, we had said that we would appreciate if the department, so that we can see progress on the issues that would have been areas that the department would have acted on, in particular on matters that relate to forensic investigations and outcomes. The purpose of today, therefore, is to get a briefing on those areas where there have been commitment and undertakings to act on, and then get progress, how much and what has been undertaken going forward. We will be dealing with today. I know, for an example, part of the work of the committee is to ensure that where there have been errors committed, there has to be correction or action. In fact, there has to be action or corrections. I see there is already a complaint about my network. I will correct it just now, don't worry. I hope it will be better now. Can I then give in to the department to make their presentation? Honorable DM, the floor is yours with your team. Thank you very much. Am I audible?
Yes, you are.
Oh, okay. Now I'm saying that DM, you can continue with your team.
Thank you so much, Chairperson of the Portfolio Committee, Honorable Zipo. Honorable members, the DG, the DDGs, head of various entities, the guests, and the media present. Ladies and gentlemen, good morning. Chair, as the department, we wish to thank the Portfolio Committee for the opportunity to present the progress report on forensic investigations and consequence management. The report of the department will reflect on various issues related to solar water heaters, subsistence and traveling costs, fruitless and wasteful expenditure, as well as strategic fuel fund forensic investigation on strategic stock. Chair, we wish to indicate that the presentation also encapsulates a report on various entities as far as investigations and consequence management is concerned. It should be noted, Chair, that the policies, procedures and systems and government structures are in place, as well as the internal controls are reviewed and strengthened from time to time as to ensure accountability. For all the entities, Chair, the problem statement, the findings and outcomes are encapsulated on the presentation. The DG is going then to take us through the overview. Then Mr. Mlaus is going to take us through the details of the presentation. We have all the DGs as well as the CEOs of the entities, chairperson in the meeting. Thank you so much. Allow me to then hand over to the DG to take us through the overview. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much, DM. Greetings to yourself, Your Excellency, the Honorable Chair of the PPC, all honorable members of the PPC, the DDGs, the CEOs and chairs of our respective boards that are in attendance, and also the chief directors that are in attendance, the support staff to Parliament, and also to Ministry, the media houses that are in attendance, and the interested parties that are also in attendance. Thank you very much for the opportunity, Chair. As the DM has actually given the overview, I will not want to delve very much around issues that will be covered by the presentation. Just to explain that the first page or third page, we are giving an outline of the presentation. We'll be dealing with the in the main, when you look at number two there, we have solar heaters, solar water heaters. We'll give an update in terms of the investigations as well as the consequence management. We also have an issue that was discussed previously by the portfolio committee on one of the departmental officials that is affected on the subsistence and traveling cost. And also, as we know that we have one official or two, some officials from the side of the department that are also implicated in the strategic stock, and we'll give an update around that. Mr. Mlaus will just run through that point as well. Then the DM has covered this point on the SOE's forensic investigations. We'll give an update because we don't want to repeat what we presented before to the PPC. We're giving you an update in terms of what has been done to date in making sure that there is actually consequence management. Those that have been found to be on the wrong side of the law have to account. Now, there we have the entities that will be presenting under CEF Group. We have subsidiaries under CEF. We will deal with PASA. We also have AE. We would also address issues of PetroSA as well as IGAS. And next, I will just give an update in terms of the reports, the investigations that have been conducted, and also when it comes to the MHSC, we'll do the same as well as the regulator. And lastly, we'll deal with NERSA, and we'll then address the way forward from there. Now, as we have highlighted, Chair, I'll just deal with this part and hand over to Mr. Mlaus. in the period that is under review, we did not conduct any forensic investigations and identified regional offices. We all know that, I mean, we did report to the committee about the investigations that have been conducted after the minister directed the ministerial investigation task team to attend to the issues that were raised by various community members, companies, including members of parliament about what has been happening in some of our regional offices, in particular Mpumalanga and Limpopo, as well as Northwest. But the main focus was more in Mpumalanga, and some certain actions were taken based on that. Would have dealt with the solar heaters. There will be an update. I think, Chair, I will then pause here because it will be a repetition of what I have already covered in the introduction in terms of the issues. With your indulgency, Honourable Chair and Honourable Members, I would like to take this opportunity to invite Mr. Mlauzi, who is the Head of Strategy, to take Honourable Members through the presentation. Over to you, Mr. Mlauzi.
Thank you very much, DG. Honorable Chair, members, DM, all protocol observed. I will start with the investigations that relate to the solar water heaters. This was as a result of Cabinet's decision to say we need to refer the investigation we need to refer the matter for investigation to National Treasury. So that investigation can be conducted in order to can minimize the delay. A service provider was appointed in this regard in March. As we speak, the investigation is at an advanced stage and is ongoing. It is anticipated that the investigations will be concluded by the end of October this year. On the matter relating to the irregular expenditure, there was an anonymous letter alleging that Mr. Maubane obtained his mining inspector certificate in an improper manner. The department instructed that an investigation should be conducted by our audit services. The audit services findings were indicating that the manner in which Mr. Maubane obtained his mine manager certificate competence was irregular. And as a result thereof, the certificate was withdrawn. Mr. Maubane, in terms of consequence management, was redeployed to the position of rock engineer within the Mine Health and Safety Inspectorate, but at head office. He was unhappy with the outcome, and he took the matter to the High Court, where it was held that the department did not afford him an opportunity to respond to the audit report. Based on that, an advice was sought on the matter from the state attorney, and the state attorney advised that a de novo investigation should be conducted. In other words, we must start from scratch or afresh. So internal audit, based on that, advised that if we were to follow the de novo process, it will be a repetition of the same thing and the finding will be the same. This is now investigations that relates to the strategic fuel fund. This relates to an official who was implicated on the strategic fuel fund for the sale of strategic stocks. The department briefed the Office of the State Attorney to appoint a senior counsel in this regard, and that this matter is still ongoing, and the disciplinary process will be concluded in November this year. Now, EG indicated that we will give a report or presentation on SOE's investigations. And this is that out of the 11 entities reporting to the department, only the following, that is SEF Group, Nexa, Mine Health and Safety Council, Then we've got the South African and Precious Metals Regulator and NERSA. These are the entities that conducted investigations into allegations of fraud, corruption, and maladministration. The rest of the entities did not institute any forensic investigation, as the misconduct cases there were only related to the flouting of internal processes such as prescripts, processes, and etc. Some of the forensic investigations in this regard has progressed significantly and with the assistance of the third parties. The department will continue to work closely with the law enforcement agencies to bring perpetrators to book. With regard to SEF's forensic investigations, there was a forensic investigation that relates to misstatements and impairments in the annual financial statements, but also that includes insubordination, money laundering, and failure to implement the solar water heater project. Now, in terms of the focus with regards to the scope of this investigation was focusing on the alleged delay on the implementation of the solar water heater project, but also failure to reinstate officials in acting positions to their substantive posts, failure to establish board procurement and the finance subcommittee, as well as insubordination. It also included payments effected on behalf of PASA by SEF Treasury into fraudulent offshore accounts. In terms of the findings of the investigations, a report has been issued, and that consequence management process is underway. The deliverables, which is the outcome, it is envisaged that the consequence management process will be concluded in October. We've got African explorations investigations as well. And the issue there was around the violation of procurement policy and procedure, unauthorized overseas trip and mismanagement of the AE strategic project, as well as abuse of power by the African Exploration Chief Executive. The scope or area of focus for the investigation is that the board appointed Koboto to investigate all allegations in the second quarter of 2019, which relates to the violation of procurement policy and procedure, unauthorized overseas trip, mismanagement of AE strategic projects. So in terms of the findings after the investigation is that it was found, the CEO was found to have transgressed the procurement policies and mismanagement of company resources. Consequence management with regard to that was that the CEO and three executives were dismissed. Three executives were dismissed and one senior manager resigned before the DC process was instituted. In terms of the outcome of the investigation, the CEO of the African Exploration has been blacklisted from any future employment with the state. However, the CEO approached the CCMA and the matter is at the advanced stage of arbitration. This matter was heard from the 6th to the 8th of July, on the 6th and 8th July, as well as 13th to 15th July. The arbitration was postponed to October this year. The other executives that have been dismissed have also approached the CCMA, and the update is as follows. The Chief Audit Executive arbitration was held on the 23rd August and was postponed to a date to be determined by the CCMA. The ICT GM case was heard on 18 August 2021, and the arbitration was postponed to a date to be determined by the CCMA. And the GM for projects arbitration hearing date is not yet allocated by the CCMA. African Exploration has instituted legal proceedings against Innovent in the High Court to set aside the tender that was unlawfully awarded. A filing of affidavit to the Hawks by the chairman of the board with the assistance of the attorneys would have also to be factored into the affidavits for Hawks investigation and action. Petro SA investigations relates to serious allegations of mismanagement which were brought to the attention of the Petro SA board in relation to HR function, procurement and contracts, feedstock processes and shutdown processes. This investigation focused on the following: the process of voluntary severance packages, any contravention of the appointment of related voluntary severance packages, procurement and contract which focus on evergreen contracts and compliance with the PFMA and other regulatory frameworks, feedstock procurement processes to verify the accuracy of the pricing methodologies and other key requirements of competitiveness of the sourcing process. There's also reasons for the extended shutdown of the refinery. The report or findings in relation to this investigation is that there is a report that has been issued and that the consequence management process has been initiated. The outcomes in terms of this is that it is envisaged that the consequence management process will be completed in October. Now, this relates to Project Ikwezi. As you can see, there were external consultations, investigations, and which were initiated by the board. As you can see, in 2011, there was the Enterprise Risk Management Risk Review, which was meant to provide assurance that no critical risk have been overlooked. Now you can see the recommendations that was made in terms of that review. In 2012, KPMG was requested to conduct an independent assessment of Ikwezi, review of packages and project team actions critical to meet the first guess. Recommendations were made in terms of those bullets. In July 2012, KPMG was to look into governance, review project governance as project moves to execution. Recommendations were found, findings were made there. March 2013, DNV risk review, there was a review project of project governance as project moves into execution as well. And there was another one, June 2013, SNG2. There was a review of contract entered into between Petro SA and KBR, which moved to the next project of June 2015, IPA project review. This was to evaluate the Ikwezi's project performance against the industry benchmarks. Next slide. Now, as we continue with Ikwezi, I will focus on the middle area, which is highlighted red, and also read the outcome, the current situation. There, the investigation into Petro SA performance for 2015 and the 14 billion impairment charge. There are reports that have been prepared for the purposes of this investigation. However, these reports are protected by legal privilege, as the reports contain sensitive information. The information provided in these documents issued to the board of directors, it is said that it should be treated with confidential and with the sensitivity that it requires. Now, as you can see, Chairperson, is that if you read the area that speaks to the current, it says that this the investigations related to payments, as we speak, are ongoing with the Hawks. And that includes affidavit and information that has been provided or requested by the Hawks to assist the investigations. We now on SFF. The problem there was that strategic crude oil of 10 billion barrels was unlawfully sold to a number of trading companies without the proper authorization of the SFF and the SEF board. And then the then minister, with the concurrence of Treasury in terms of Section 54 of the PVMA, they then felt that investigations should be done. So purposes of the scope of the investigation is focusing on the contract validation and the role of key players, including management, financial trail, as well as email correspondence. Key findings in terms of this investigation is that the report currently is with the Hawks, and that the consequence management processes has commenced and is at the sensitive stage. SFF has completed the procurement process to advance the proceedings to ensure that the process is fair to all parties, and will report here on as it unfolds. Key outcomes, the Hawks are handling the criminal case, and SFF continues to render support as and when required to do so. The appeal against the High Court ruling has been lodged, and that SFF has filed its supporting affidavit. The opposing parties are expected to file their papers in due course. It's still SFF, where there was a 3,000 barrels for crude oil that was unlawfully loaned to EnviroShore without proper approval from SFF boards. And that the purpose of the investigation is with regard to the allegations of irregularities in respect of the award of contracts, but also decisions leading up and subsequent to the conclusion of the SFF or storage facility and processing of sludge from the mine oil and pumping water boreholes agreement between SFF and EnviroShore Trade and Logistics. As far as the report is concerned, the report is currently with the Hawks, and that the attorneys have advice on the merits of pursuing consequence management against the individuals involved. The consequence management process has commenced and is at an advanced stage. SFF has completed the procurement process to advance the proceedings to ensure that the process is fair to all parties. With regard to the outcomes, the Hawks are still investigating the SFF, and SFF continues to support. Negotiations are ongoing to get parties to repay Mercuria, as the 3,000 barrels are still in a tank at SFF. The legal matter between SFF and Mercuria is still before the court, and SFF continues to negotiate with Mercuria to arrive at an amicable settlement. There was SFF bought 10 million barrels of diesel in Zimbabwe from IPG and sold another company, which is Lion Petroleum in Zimbabwe, with no trading license in Zimbabwe. So the Lion Petroleum did not honor the contract, and SFF has never received the 10 billion liters of diesel. The investigation, the purpose was to conduct forensic investigation into the circumstances surrounding the disposal of the 10 million liters of diesel. The findings there is that we are currently engaging the Hawks to get guidance regarding the possible charges, and that attorneys have advised that on the merits of pursuing consequence management against individuals involved. The consequence management process has commenced, and it is at an advanced stage. FFF has completed the procurement process to advance the proceedings and to ensure that the process is fair. As far as outcomes are concerned, is that Lion Petroleum was taken to court and SFF won the case. The possibility of initiating legal proceedings against Lion Petroleum in Zimbabwe is still being considered. However, the prospects of recovery are low. Now, Chairperson and Honorable Members, we now presenting NEXA Forensic Investigations. Pelchem Managing Director reported the case of fruitless and wasteful expenditure. Pelchem received a disclaimer audit opinion from the audit conducted by AG in 2019 financial year. The basis of the disclaimer included, among others, matters of irregular expenditure, which has accumulated an expenditure over years, and then also non-adherence to national treasury regulatory frameworks, internal procurement and finance policies, and lack of consequence against the officials who made and permitted irregular expenditure and fruitless and wasteful expenditure. In terms of the action to be taken, it will be determined at the conclusion of the investigation, and that the investigation will be concluded in September, and the total cost of fruitless and wasteful expenditure will be quantified at the end of the investigation. Continuing with NEXA as well, is that there was a whistleblower who reported that NTP employee awarded a two-year contract to a contractor without following due procurement processes. Now, investigation is being conducted, will be finalized in September, where it will be determined at the conclusion of the investigation as to what form of consequence management will be taken. The total cost will be quantified as well at the end of the investigation. The second matter relates to internal audit report that supply chain management procedure and preferential procurement process were not followed in the appointment of the service provider. There is an investigation underway, which will be concluded in September. In terms of the contract under investigation, the value is 27 million. And that consequence management will be informed by the findings and the outcomes of the report. Another matter is where internal audit reported that SCM procedure and preferential procurement process were also not followed. The contract expired and was not extended. There is an investigation which will be completed in September. This contract under investigation is valued at 17.5 million. The outcome of the investigations will direct the type of consequence management that should be implemented. Mine Health and Safety Council investigations. The first one is that there is an investigation on misconduct committed during the procurement of services relating to climate survey. There was a consequence management disciplinary hearing. Now, the disciplinary hearing is finalized and the matter was reported to the law enforcement agency. Now, during the disciplinary hearing, the former COO took the council to CCMA for unlawful suspension and termination of his contract of employment. The CCMA case is pending. The second investigation there is that misconduct committed during procurement of services relating to climate survey as well. This was now the PA to the CEO. And disciplinary hearing has been finalized and the matter was reported to the law enforcement agency. Same as the former one, after finalization, the matter was taken to the CCMA and is pending. There is a third one there that speaks to the allegations of the ARC chairperson who did not disclose pending criminal charges of fraud and corruption. That is the former Audit and Risk Committee chairperson. The matter was reported to National Treasury as well as relevant institutes and associating of the profession. Investigation has been finalized and the contract has expired during the consequence management process. NERSA, there is an investigation into the allegations that the CEO conspired with employees to increase his salary. And that a unilateral approval of Section 34 in terms of the Renewable Energy Independent Power Producers Generation License in contravention of Section 8 and 9 of the NERSA Act. This is against the CEO, and disciplinary hearing was done. Settlement agreement at the instance of the CEO, and that termination of services effected on the 27th of August 2020. The CFO who was implicated was resigned prior to the conclusion of the investigations into the allegations. Chairperson, honorable members, this is the end of the presentation. I thank you.
Yeah. Chairperson, I don't know whether DM is having a technical challenge. I wanted to hand over back to DM, but in the absence of DM, I would like to hand over, you know, back to you, Chair. Thank you very much.
Okay, thank you, DG and the DM. Maybe it's affected by snow. We don't know. If it's in the bundles, but having received your presentation, DG, and DM, if the DM is back, you will indicate. Honorable members, there is the report. Take my papers, put them properly. Honorable Zamenga, Honorable Lorema, Honorable Matogwe, Honorable Mylan, Honorable Mylan, the accountant is still struggling now to write your name after so many months. Honorable Masaule. Okay, I see only those members, Honorable Malinga, Honorable Lorema, Honorable Matogwe, Honorable Mylan, Honorable Masaule. Is there any other hands? In the absence, I will come back after Honorable Masaule. We can start, Honorable Malinga.
Thank you, Chairperson. Greetings to yourself, the DM in our midst, and the honorable members of the Portfolio Committee, the guests on our platform, and the support staff. Chairperson, let me welcome the presentation by the department. But I think we have had this presentation before, if I am correct, Chair. I don't know whether it was early this year or late last year. But it's just that I am using a new notepad, Chair. Chairperson, from what Mr. Mulawuzi is presenting, I don't get the sense that the department is really intending to impose consequence management on the people who are found on the wrongdoing. Let's put aside the cases where law enforcement agencies are involved. But the person, I think it's one person who was moved with fake qualifications to their head office. Pella, if you have fake qualifications, it means they have investigated you and they found those qualifications to be fraud. Even that institution where this person has submitted the certificate from should be taken to task. Actually, you can't continue to be moved from one position to another position with a fake qualification and still continue to earn a salary. I think maybe it's me who doesn't understand what do they mean about consequence management. Because consequence management is either you recoup the money that this person was paid using the fake qualification, not moving the person. Because last I think it was about a tune of something like 700,000, if I'm correct, Chair. Chairperson, I also want to come to Project Ikwezi. This project started in 2011. We are in 2021. I don't get the progress, Chair. And it's the same content, Chair, but we are not given how much the department has spent on these cases. Are these litigation bills footed by the department or are they footed by the Treasury, Chair? Maybe if I can get clarity on that one, Chair. On the PELCAM issue, Chair, their financial year irregular expenditure for 2019-20. Where are these personnel that did this procurement wrongly? Were they charged? Because I did not get it from the presentation. Were they charged? Are they suspended? Because if you say consequence management, you'll only package after you have dealt, you found out that there is a wrongdoing. So where are they? Because it hinders the investigation if the people who are investigating are still with the employee of that entity. Hi, Chairperson. I've never heard of such. Maybe it happens only to us politicians that our children cannot get employed where we are working or get tenders. But NTP, an employee, gets a tender of 27 million. Where is this employee? Is he or she still with the employee of the NTP Chair? Maybe if I can get that. And NERSA, the CEO goes and collaborates with employees to increase his salary. And that seems to be normal in the department. Where is this CEO? Was that money or that increase being recouped to the CEO, or was the same consequence management like the CEO of AEMFC being taken against this CEO, whereby this person is blacklisted, this person has been dismissed, money recouped from this person? With Petro SA, Chair, Petro SA is a pain. And you have a gentleman's agreement where people take a voluntary severance package. They collapse the entity, then they are given a voluntary severance package, Chair. Let me stop here for now, Chair. But safely to say that which entity under SEF Group is not under a, maybe if I can get that from the DM and the DG, which SEF Group, which entity from the SEF Group is not undergoing forensic investigation. Because I've been saying that his self is a very, very bad parent. They are not even supposed to have kids. Thank you very much, Chair.
Thanks, Mr. Chair. Good morning. I would like to compliment you on this presentation, on calling for it, if indeed you did. It is quite shocking, the astonishing array of misconduct in the entities. In terms of clarity, I'd like to go to slide 12, the State Mining Company, the African Exploration Mining Finance Company. We hear about the violation of procurement policy and procedures. Could we be told, please, more about this company Innovent, which is concerned? What kind of company is it, and what was the tender worth? And there's a bit of a lack of clarity as to how many people have been dismissed. It says the CEO and three executives were dismissed. And then next bullet point says three executives were dismissed and one senior manager resigned before disciplinary processes were instituted. So can we just be enlightened on exactly how many people have gone and under what circumstances? Then moving on to slide 21, similar questions of clarity about the Mine Health and Safety Council. Can we have more detail on the climate survey procurement and how much the tender was worth? The part of the presentation that wasn't talked to was slide 25, the diamond of the precious metals regulator. I have similar questions there. I'd like to have more details on the disclosure of confidential information, which was the subject of disciplinary action. I'd like to know what information was disclosed illegally and to whom it was disclosed. Now, all of this points to a problem with capacity and controls and the hiring of staff across the entity. Some of this is just astonishing that somebody in charge of the Audit and Risk Committee, the chairperson, is facing charges of fraud and corruption and doesn't disclose them. It leads to the question, how is the person selected for that position? It hints at a serious problem with appointments across the entities, and this possibly stems from incapacity. With regards to that capacity or lack of it, I'd like to ask another question which is not in this presentation, because another serious failing of the department has come to light, and that is its failure to supply June mining figures to Stats SA, and this is almost unprecedented. Now, I want to know whether that's a result of incapacity or is it a result of some misconduct by employees? And on the subject, is this lack of mining figures being supplied going to be a problem going forward? Thanks, Mr. Chair.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. I'd also like to extend my greetings to the department and members of this portfolio committee. I also would like to just express my, I would say, worry and my disappointment as well in how this report paints a picture, as Honorable Malenga did say previously, a picture of a department that is not really serious about consequence management, about holding people who are corrupt and fraudulent in, accountable. And this also shows in the report as well. I think I also have a few clarity-seeking questions. The first one being that one of the slides, it does speak about the fact that out of the 11 entities, only three had forensic investigation matters, and then the others were just internal matters. I'm just interested, though, whether there were any investigations on the internal matters that were flagged in the other entities, because even those internal matters or those matters that are deemed to be very minimal, they've had consequences or implications for the rest of the department or how it functions. The second one, I think it's overall on all the cases that I think that it would have been helpful if the report would have given us when exactly were these cases brought to the attention of the department. and also how much did they cost the taxpayer or the department itself. That was done, of course, in some of the entities, but it was not done in all of them, especially the issue of the cost. But in terms of when these cases were opened, I think that would be important so that we're also able to track how long it takes for the department to actually respond to these cases. Because if we are going to be very slow and we are also going to be very lenient on people who are putting this department under very bad circumstances, what that therefore means is that even those who have not committed fraud at this point in time or who have not committed any corruption will know that, look, there are no consequences anyway, so let me also just do as the others have done because there have been no consequences or any measurable consequences. I think Honorable Malem did cover the issue of people that resigned before investigations and all those things. But I'd also like to ask that, does that then, if someone commits a crime and then they resign, does that then absolve them from answering for their crimes? And there's also one of the Forensic Audit and Risk Committee chairperson under Mine Health and Safety. The contract expires before consequence management. That's what the report says. But what does that mean? Does that then mean that that person gets off scot-free? Another question that I wanted or that I had was particularly on the redeployment of a Mr. Madubane, who I would assume had used his power or his opportunity to get a mining license. As the department or as this portfolio committee, we've been dealing with this issue of mining licenses for the longest time, with people, poor people, people who have previously been excluded from mining, have been waiting for mining licenses for the longest time. We know the issue there. But you have someone who is then employed by the state, who uses their proximity to procure themselves a mining license, knowing very well that there's a serious backlog and there's people that need these licenses more than anyone else. And then the department's consequence management is that that person is redeployed and still needs to be paid by the taxpayer. So I'm just trying to understand what was the logic behind the redeployment. I think those are the questions that I have for now. Thank you very much.
Chairperson, good morning. You will excuse me if I don't put on my video. My signal's a little bit dodgy today. Chairperson, I concur with a number of the points that have been raised by my colleagues earlier. I do have some concerns, though, and that is that on a number of the slides, under the heading Key Findings and Impact, they say a report has been issued. Now, a report is not a finding. A report is not a finding. A finding is that this happened or that happened or that this person was guilty or that person was not guilty. But a report is not a finding. And frankly, Chairperson, I'm tired of the department and I'm tired of departmental officials coming here and saying, oh, we've generated a report or a report has been issued and not telling us what's in that report. Because that doesn't help us to conduct the oversight that we need to do. Which brings me to my next point, Chair. There was a comment made on the Petro SA slides about legal privilege and how these issues are subject to legal privilege and therefore we have no authority, I guess, to look into them. Chairperson, I would ask that we get a legal opinion in this regard because as I understand it, first of all, the state is the shareholder in this matter. So legal privilege doesn't apply to the state. That's the first point. The second is that as parliamentary portfolio committee, we have oversight authority over every aspect of state activity. So again, legal privilege doesn't apply because we can look into that legal privilege and see what's going on there. Now, I have a really serious concern that the legal privilege is being used to obscure or deflect our investigation away from things that people don't want us to look into. Chairperson, I'm also very, very concerned about the number of investigations
and forensic reports and legal matters and legal advice and so on that have been sought, particularly within the CEF and its subsidiaries, specifically CEF, PetroSA, and SFF. And so I'd like a report, please, from the CEF and its subsidiaries as to how much has been spent over the last 10 years on forensic investigations, on legal advice, on legal support, and legal action arising from forensic investigations. I'd also like to know, what is the value of contracts that have been deemed irregular and set aside or otherwise altered or amended because of irregular procurement processes or irregular activity within these entities? Because I'm getting the feeling that we're not talking hundreds of millions of rands, we're talking billions of rands. Chairperson, I'd then like to just end off on NERSA, if I may. I note the issue with the CEO was resolved by him leaving office. On the pack that we got, on the slide pack that we got last night, it says that there was a settlement agreement with the CEO and he resigned. Now, it strikes me that a settlement agreement would not be agreed to if the person was guilty of misconduct. So I'd really like to know, was an investigation conducted into the CEO's unilateral awarding of REIPP contract? Was an investigation conducted into his awarding of a higher salary to himself? If so, what were the findings of that investigation? Were they tabled before the board? And what was the board's decision in that regard? Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much.
Oh, sorry, Bob. Hey, I nearly forgot you. Sorry.
No, Chair, you would justify to forget me because I think I'm covered by the many questions that have been asked. I will wait for the responses, and if the kind of question I wanted to ask is not responded to, I'll come again. Thanks.
Okay, thank you, Honourable Mashaule. I saw at the end, but I thought it was Honourable Mylan. No, I'm sure the department is going to answer. Let me just put Honourable Rima at relief. This report or presentation was requested by us based on what the department in many of the instances that presented to the committee on what it is supposed to be done. And it was a resolution of this committee that the department, instead of dealing with one part, when you go to the issue of the solar water heaters, you get this information, then you go to the other entity, you get this, and so forth and so forth. So, it was requested that let them present because there was a major concern about the issues of consequence management. So it's a resolution of this committee, and therefore, and it was included on the program of this committee by all of us. I don't want to sound like I'm taking credit for something that we all put our hands on it to be here. Otherwise, the rest, honorable members, let's give the department to respond. I will come later also, but I think with the extent of comments, questions, it will require that answers be given, and then we will see what next. Honourable, Honourable DM, I nearly said Honourable Mukwena. Honourable DM, if you are still around, can I give it to you then with your team? DG, then it means you must come in. I'm trying to see whether the DM is still in the page of the participants.
Thank you very much, Chair. Let's hope it's, the challenge that is being resolved.
Yeah, I see she's still here, but both the video and the mic are muted.
Yes.
So you can continue.
Okay, thank you very much, Honorable Chair. I will allocate the relevant officials and will come at the end, the chairs that are responsible, including the CEOs. We'll start with the department. The question that has been raised by Honorable Lorima in regard with the results that are not being supplied to SG. DDG Kamete would respond, and supported by DDG Mwabe. And the other questions relate to the Mine Health and Safety Council, and also on Mr. Matumbane, then the Chief Inspector of Mines will respond to those questions. On the other questions on our entities, it will be the interim CEO of AE, followed by the regulator CEO, and NERSA CEO would also respond to the questions that have been raised. Colleagues, I will not be coming back or in. Immediately after the speaker has concluded, then you must chip in. Thank you very much. You may proceed in that order. DG Kamete.
Morning, Chairperson, honorable members, our colleagues, as well as our CEOs. We have a crisis right now in the department in terms of the crushed systems or infrastructure that we have currently, especially in terms of the data that we were supposed to provide, especially in terms of the mine stats that were supposed to be provided a few weeks ago. Unfortunately, we have this problem, and we've been trying to actually to refresh our servers to try to get money to start with a new, you know, the replacement of new servers. And unfortunately, we have a problem in terms of funding this this project in terms of our infrastructure. So we are trying to find a solution right now to try to provide this solution as soon as possible, where we thought maybe we can have a assistance from a service provider that will be able to assist us, especially in the interim. So, but we are looking into the possibility of basically, you know, resolving this problem that we have, and we can only, you know, get assistance, financial assistance, if we can then maybe get that money. And I suppose we can ask our, you know, the department with the National Treasury to assist us with this. Thank you, Chair.
Dr.
Morning, Honourable Chair and Honourable Members. Thanks, DG. I think DG Kamete, as the DG responsible for IT, has responded. I'm a user in this case. I do the statistics, and I unfortunately cannot work on the stats when the servers are not available. We can't access data, and we can't process, we can't upload data at this point. So our hands are just tied. Thanks, Honorable Chair. Thank you, DG.
policies.
Thank you, PG. Good morning, Honourable Chairperson, Honourable Members, Honourable Deputy Minister, DG and colleagues. The questions that I was responding to, the first one is from Honourable Malinga regarding the matter of Mr. Maduane's qualifications. Yes, indeed, Honourable Malinga, and I think Honourable Madogwe also touched on it. As a brief background, the department at one stage investigated fraudulent activities that involved the certificates of competences that were administered by the department. Now, the department administers those certificates through the Mine Health and Safety Act, and they are issued in terms of the Mine Health and Safety Act. At that time, there were allegations that some people who worked at the sector, because they applied to the department, were acquiring those certificates regularly. Or through payment of bribes. So the department investigated, and there were consequence management taken against the administration officers who were dealing with that. During that course of taking action, there was an anonymous letter written to the minister, and then the DG was requested at that time to investigate the allegations against Mr. Maduane certificate. At that time, the investigation indicated that Mr. Maduane applied for an exemption on the mine manager certificate. The mine manager certificate is written in three parts, Part A, Part B, and Part C. Part A is the technical part, which is to survey geology and engineering, and Part B deals with the mining itself, and Part C deals with the law, itself. So he applied to be exempted from Part A and Part B. It appears he was exempted at that time for whatever reason. And the anonymous letter was saying that was done irregularly. So the investigation also showed that it was really done irregularly. There were disciplinary hearings that were actually held, and the certificate was withdrawn. His certificate, obviously, there were legal steps that were followed, and he also took the matter to court. Now, obviously, if your certificate is withdrawn, you cannot be a principal inspector because you require that certificate also to be a principal inspector. He was removed as a principal inspector. He took the department to court, as indicated by Mr. Mulaudzi earlier. The reason why he was removed and moved to Rocco Engineering, we advised legally that if we take action against him, because there will be legal consequences for the department, because at that time there was nothing that was proven that he did wrong in terms of the certificate itself. And yes, it's a concern for us as a department, hence we've outlined that we are engaging in legal to try to finalize it quickly. And also, Honourable Lurima, in terms of the Mine Health and Safety Council, I think you asked a question on climate survey. The matter on climate survey, Honourable Members, is that it was brought to the attention of the board, the current board, that there were some irregularities that were taking place at the council, more specifically regarding a climate survey. Now, the board ensures that an independent entity is appointed to investigate those allegations. And there was a report that was presented to the board, of which the board adopted. The findings basically were saying that the procurement of these service providers to do, initially it was the climate survey, but to do some workshop to assist the council office in terms of a particular workshop, was done irregularly, in the sense that they've used a travel agency, in other words, the company that is involved in arranging and assisting the council at that time in terms of traveling matters, but they've procured through that company. So the investigation revealed that there was irregularities indeed. However, there's possible fraud that involved that process. It appears there were bribes, suggestions, but there were bribes that have been paid through that travel company, including its officials and some of the officials of the council itself. Now, it opened, that specific investigation opened up other issues, because what happens, this matter, it appears, happened in 2018, we are told, early 2018. So what happened when this matter was investigated by the board? Because the officials there, the board got a sense that they were not sure who was going to be implicated. Then they started revealing other issues through the hotline system that we use at the council. So one of them is the one on the chairperson, that when she was appointed, it appears in 2016, as well, there was a pending fraud and corruption case against her. The council claims they've done the background checks, but now the investigation clearly shows that this was not done accordingly. Now, to respond to the question by Honourable Lorimer on the possible irregular expenditure on this particular matter itself, on the travel survey, it was 480,000. However, on the other issues involving this travel agent, it might come close to about 30 million. And hence, we're taking action against the relevant people. And we've also referred this matter to the law and the fraud charges are there. However, the board have realized that there was a lot of things that the previous board let on, and some of them were not disclosed, and that brought us to this particular issue. Indeed, there should have been a proper control that prevented us from taking place. So the current board is ensuring that there is improvement, enhancement on the province the controls. Yes, the CEO and his PA were implicated, and the disciplinary hearings were taken against them, and the hearings were done, and actions were taken. They took us to the CCMA. Now, to also to speak to the question of Honourable Madoge, but before I come to that question, is just to also respond on Honourable Lorima on how did the chairperson matter came through. Firstly, even ourselves, we were shocked that this is happening. So it's one of the things that we're insisting that they must review how they do background checks at the council to prevent this thing from happening. Honourable Madoge, in terms of the chairperson as well, yes, when we were taking this action as the board, the contract expired, but we are required, because she's the service provider to a government entity. So we reported these findings to the respective associations, including the treasury, national treasury, for them obviously to be aware of this and take the necessary steps in terms of the law. And lastly, Honourable Madoge, I think you also spoke about the issue of Mr. Madovane. I've also clarified it. He was not issued with a mining license. It was an issue of a certificate of competency that is issued in terms of the Mine Health and Safety Act. As I indicated, the steps that have been taken, and it's still a legal matter that we as the department will be taking. Thank you, Honourable Members, Honourable TM and the colleagues. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. Good morning, Chair. Good morning, Honourable Members, and good morning, DG and colleagues. Chair, I will be responding on the matters of African exploration that has been raised, and I will be reporting on the supply chain matter that we referred to. And also I will give more clarity on the consequence management that we have reported on our slide. So the matter of the supply chain process that we referred to in our report was the outcome of a finding from the forensic audit that we conducted through a third party, Koboto. This has to do with a tender that we issued in 2017 regarding the procurement of mining machinery. We then appointed a contractor that 4 months into, or a service provider that 4 months into the contract was then not able to meet the requirements of the tender. But that was because of the evaluation process that was flouted. Hence, we talk about the supply chain process that was overlooked. The value of the tender was about 310 million. It was supplying of yellow mining machines, and only 40% of that value was delivered, and the rest, the appointed service provider was not able to deliver. As a result of the forensic report that was that gave us the outcome of the investigation, we then acted on it. Part of the charges were on the CEOs, and some were involving the executives that were involved in the evaluation of that tender. And as a result, we had three executives that left, including the chief audit executive. But not only were the executives implicated, we also had procurement officials that also were implicated that we also dealt with. So if you asked today now, all executives that were related with this procurement of this tender have been dealt with, and they are all their cases are finalized with dismissals and pending on arbitration with the CCMA. I think those were the two matters, Chair, that were leveled towards AE, and the value of the tender was just over 310 million. Thank you, DG.
Regulator?
Thank you, DG, and good morning, Honorable DM, Honorable Chairperson, members, and all protocols observed. I'll be reporting on the cases relating to the SADPMR. These cases are associated with three senior managers who were charged for disclosure to a third party of sensitive and confidential information that belongs to the entity. The three senior managers were suspended in 2020 as they were found to have been in breach of their employment contracts. And following a hearing, the chairperson of the hearing recommended dismissal, and the entity implemented the recommendations as such. The officials were dismissed with effect from 24 June 2021. In the process during the investigation, there was a recommendation to conduct a forensic investigation into what transpired in order to determine the extent of information that was taken. The cost of such an investigation is 62,158. Other costs relate to the initiator and the chairperson of the hearing, which was still updating to provide to the department. During the period when they were suspended, of course, they were paid their salaries in full in terms of the policy. The matters are now being dealt with at the CCMA. They were set down for conciliation on the 18th and the 20th of August 2021. Whereby the applicants asked for a settlement. We never agreed on any settlement because we feel we have a very strong case, and we have been issued with a certificate certifying that the dispute is unresolved. So we are therefore now waiting for the former employees to indicate if they are pursuing the matter through an arbitration process. And if they are not satisfied with the outcome of that arbitration, should it happen, they will have the right to approach the labor court. I hope I've answered the question, Chair. Thank you.
Nelson?
Thank you, DG. Good morning, Honorable Chairperson, Honorable Members, Honorable Deputy Minister, DG and DDG's Chairpersons of Board and CEOs, colleagues and support staff present. Chairperson, the question raised with regard to NERSA, raised by Honorable Malinga and Honorable Melham with regard to the allegation of the former CEO having increased his salary. I think, Chairperson, it is important for me to indicate first that the former CEO of NESA, when he was appointed, he was in an executive manager position within the organization. And he assumed his position as CEO at a salary of an executive manager for a couple of months. And what happened is that he realized that the other full-time regulator members, which at the same level as him, were earning a salary higher than his. And that is when he then asked the CFO and the executive manager for HR to increase the salary to the same level of salary as the other three full-time regulator members, which procedurally was not supposed to be done, because a letter adjusting his salary was supposed to be received from the department, and the adjustment was going to be done at the time when that letter was received. NESA did receive the letter adjusting his salary, and the adjusted salary was within what he has already instructed the staff members to adjust his salary with. So therefore, what we did as NESA, there was an adjustment in terms of the period within which he was supposed to get that particular adjusted salary. And with regards to specific questions raised by Honorable Milham, was the investigation done? Yes, the investigation was done by an independent company called TM5 Incorporation. And he also asked whether the report was tabled before the board, which is the energy regulator. Yes, the report was tabled at the energy regulator meeting, where the energy regulator adopted the recommendations that were made in the report. And one of them was that there should be action against the CEO and the three employees that were involved in the adjustment of his salary. And two of them, I think the CFO resigned and the other EM for HR resigned prior to a charge sheet being served. The charge sheet was served on the CEO, and when after serving that charge sheet on him, that's when he requested that he would rather not go through the hearing and settle the matter. And that's how the process of settlement was started and finalized. Thank you, Chairperson. Maybe let me stop there. Thanks.
Thank you very much, Chair. Chair, we have the three colleagues that must respond to the other questions: the CEO of PetroSA, the CEO of CEF, as well as the Nexa CEO. Proceed, CEOs, in that order.
No, thank you very much. Good afternoon or good morning, Chair and honourable members. Good morning, Deputy Minister, DG, officials of the department, chairs and CEOs of the subsidiaries. The matter I'm going to respond to from PetroSA is with regards to Project Equasi that was raised. Chair and honourable members, yes, you are correct, as you would have seen through the submission on the slide, that it's quite a historical matter that has been progressing for a significant time. Following the internal investigations or assessments or governance processes, the relevant consequence management was initiated. But subsequent to that, there are quite a few investigations ongoing by the Hawks. We are currently providing all the information as being requested by the Hawks, and we are following up on the progress of those investigations. But to date, we await the feedback on those investigations. As soon as the feedback is received, we can assure you through the PetroSA board that we will certainly take the necessary action thereof. Second to that was the comment raised, or the question raised by the honourable member on the legal privilege. I can tell you we have taken an action. We do have a PetroSA board meeting in the next couple of days, and we will raise that matter and respond accordingly on how we can address the access to that information, especially given that it is quite historical in nature. So we will be engaging with the Petroese board to take that action further. Chair and honourable members, DG, that was the feedback on the crazy matter raised at Petroese. Thank you very much.
That's you. Unmute.
Honourable Chair, Deputy Minister, honourable members, all protocol observed. Chair and honourable members, two comments or questions were raised. One by Honourable Malinga with regards to the SEFS effective parenting. I can confirm to the committee that SEF has been insisting on the investigations on this, and in some instances initiated this investigations as soon as they came to light, whether in form of reports or otherwise, just as a way of trying to address that concern. The second issue is from the request from Honorable Malam with regards to the review. We will go back 10 years to now and basically compile a report of all forensic investigations and then submit that report to the committee. Thank you. Thank you, Chair. Thank you, Honorable Members.
Metro?
Thank you, DG. Honorable DM, Honorable Chairperson, Honorable Members, officials and senior reps of institutions, thank you for the opportunity to respond to the NESA question. This question pertains to the PELCAM and NTP as to whether the people that are identified in the forensic reports are still in the employ of the organization. I want to confirm that they are still in the employ of the organization. At the commencement of each and every one of our forensic investigations, we do a risk assessment, and this risk assessment performs or weighs the option of the potential issue of obstruction of access to information and any relevant information that might be used for the investigation. It weighs that against prematurely and sometimes incorrectly putting people on suspension, and those people are earning an income for some during the course of the investigation. On both the matters, performed that risk assessment, and we are certain that there is no obstruction of justice that we foresee at this point of the investigation. I must also point that we are close to concluding both those investigations by September, and I will make sure that this filters its way through the NEXA reports at an ongoing process. Thank you very much, DG.
Thank you very much, the CEOs. Chair, the colleagues have responded to the questions. I just want to overemphasize some of the questions that have been responded to. Chair, it is important that when we respond to honorable members, we must give accurate information. We do appreciate the role that you are assigned to play as the public representatives, as members of parliament. Now, there was a question here from Honorable Lorima in regard with the capacity of the department, especially when it comes to the failure to supply the June and July stats. Now, Chair, this actually exposes some of the officials in the department. Now, of course, there must be a leadership that has been provided. And so we can't come here and color code issues. And so we need to be frank and honest in terms of the challenges that we are faced with and on how we're going to deal with those challenges. Now, on this issue, Chair, I had a meeting this morning. Last night, I have been in constant discussion with the relevant colleagues. Now, we had a meeting this morning, Chair, to discuss the very same matter. Now, we have said that we don't want people to give us any excuses of money. Money is not a problem. The problem is lack of creativity from some of the officials that are assigned to perform certain responsibilities. And so we can't really come here and try to defend things that can easily be done. And so we are making a commitment here to the PPC that really heads going to have to roll here, because people must take a full responsibility. And now it is embarrassing that, I mean, these issues are now being raised by members of parliament. And so I thought that I should just overemphasize this point, Chair, so that people must now begin to understand that we have a duty and responsibility to perform our responsibilities diligently without any failure. Now, the other issue that has been raised by Honorable Madokwe in respect of people that just resign or their contracts expire before consequence management, there are ways and means in which you can deal with that, your Excellency, the Honorable Member, in terms of the law or the policy of the organization, that you blacklist that person. It doesn't mean that that person will just disappear without any action being taken against the culprit. And so I think it's a good question, but we can confirm that where such incidents do occur, we will make sure that people don't just go out for without having been subjected to any punishment, if I can just put it like that. And so I think other questions have been responded by the committee, but we would like to make a commitment here to the honourable members of the PPC that we would attend to all these issues that have been brought to our attention, and we are aware about these issues. We have started working on them, but we just need to be frank and honest when we appear before the PPC on how we're going to deal with those issues. Thank you very much, Honourable Chair.
Thank you, DG. With your team and the responses that you have given, I don't want to close members out, especially Honorable Mashaule put me against the wall by saying indirectly is giving himself a privilege to come at the appropriate time. I will try and, but before he comes in, I will try and take and make my comments on this thing. I'm giving myself the privilege, and let me note, I don't know, put Honorable Mashaule.
Chair, I'm fine, thanks.
Oh, you are fine?
Yes.
Okay, I see the hand of Honorable Malinga as a follow-up.
Yes, Chair.
Okay, I'm still just recording the names. I don't see any other name for now that wants to take a follow-up. DG, let me congratulate you on one thing. In fact, I noted this other part. Let me congratulate you on one thing. The manner in which you brought the presentation, and at times it assisted, and I'm sure that's why we can relate as a committee, that you have one person making a presentation on behalf of the department and its entities. I think let's that is, for me, it's well appreciated, because one, it doesn't consume too much time, but at the same time, it shows that we have a department. I listened at some point by the former president of the country, former President Big, raising a concern about how government functions and saying the problem with government is that you don't have a federation of departments, you've got a confederation of departments where the other one is doing its own thing and the other one is doing its own thing. And I've been worried looking and saying, aren't we even running the risk that we've got a federation of departments or units within a department? So So when this presentation is presented, that's why I'm saying it assists even us as a committee to make our own in engagements on a proper record. But let me also raise a second thing, which now we can call it a criticism and observation. I'm worried first with the little knowledge I have, whether aren't we running the risk of chasing what to me I'm saying it's already prepared cases for failure. If we look at the ratio of how many cases have been successful, I can assure you it is at a rate of I'm just guessing almost 20% success rate, because settlements can't be seen as success rates. But let me start on the first issue of the solar water heat program. At some point, the one lady said, I put my head on the block. Now, I want to be proved. I put my head on the block. This thing, by this date, will be, they will all be on the roofs. Now, we deal with consequence management. I can assure you, DG, I will not be surprised that if that person, then it means your report is not accurate. If that person is no longer on the employ of the department, then it means this report we are given is not accurate. The big question is, what happened to the head of that person? Just as an example. Two, the program of solar, I sometimes get a sense that there is collective decision on what project to be undertaken, but there is individual approach on the hierarchy who must then be targeted. Now, I would have thought, for instance, on the program of solar water heater, there would be a background that, which has been very difficult to get, a background that says the conceptual understanding and demand for this project was 1, 2, and 3, and it emerged from that unit of the department. And having emerged in that unit of the department, these are the steps that were followed, so that we can now know at what point there was a default on the process. Now, if I look at the report seems to be taking an angle that of one individual were to face the consequences of the failure. I can assure you, it is not. That's why I'm saying I'm worried about the fact that in terms of collective responsibility on this problem, I can't get it. I would ask, who was the DG at that time? Who was the DDG responsible for this, for that project? Who was the assigned project manager on that exercise? Who are the people who are responsible to ensure that the field work that is done in order to create, to ensure or see the demand? In that project, there were even things that said in the contractual agreement with the service provider, there was also a matter that talked to the issue of what do you call this thing, to the issue of storage fee. Now the question is, who would have authorized that? And so that consequence management means that there are lessons learned, and some of the people make a concession that I made an error here. Yes, it was never intentional. And then on the basis of that, either the person, this is the action we've taken based on the fact that we are convinced that this person did not commit the error. I'm saying as a project, it is impossible for me to come to a conclusion that only one individual can be held accountable for that on the chain of activities, except if it is an accounting officer. Now, I'm looking at this thing. The second thing, on the questions of even SFF, there were people who made decisions then. Some of them may no longer be there. The big question is that some of these decisions are impacting on the department without being seen to be taking. Who were the people who were in office at that time? I don't want to have a committee that runs discipline, but who were the people who were occupying these positions when this decision was taken? And in fact, I think from a committee point of view, Honorable Mas, we have to go deeper in the discussions. What do we do with actions that are taken that do not necessarily fall within the ambit? For an example, there are things that when you read in the forensic that says there was agreement. If a project bid is undertaken and at some point fails, and it doesn't only involve one department, there is a department by concurrence that would have agreed and approved to something that would say at the end of the day, it becomes an irregular expenditure. What do we deal? I think that would be a question that... So I'm not convinced, DG, that there is enough that has been done with regards to the sale of the strategic stock. I don't think so. We appreciate the fact that the matter was challenged and there was a little bit of reprieve and relief, but it doesn't mean we should. It's not a vindictive act. It is an act of giving confidence to the people that there is general belief that anything that is handled now by the state is inherently have the hallmarks of corrupt activity. We have to bring back the integrity of government. We have to bring back confidence to our people that the resources and the extent to which they make contribution on the revenue that is generated, you can't have such money just disappearing and then, like members were saying, it's billions of rands, they don't disappear. We can only take one individual and say this individual. Down the line at the end, that individual is not held accountable either. Now, I don't think for me I'm satisfied with the issue of the strategic stock and the solar water heater program. But I also, I can't agree more, honorable members, with the fact that we will have to, if it means, unfortunately, the legal services will have to bear with us. My understanding of the interpretation on the two matters, including the one that will be said sub judice, is that no matter cannot be in front of a committee to assist the committee in the performance of its duties, except it's so declared by the court of law. That is how I read if I summarize the legal opinion. And now, as we sit, unfortunately, we don't have anything that is placed in front of us. This matter remains a matter of law, and therefore, it remains sub judice, and it cannot be tackled by any other arm of the state, only three separate arms of the state. So I think it's a matter that we'll have to take into consideration. I'm happy to deal with your comment, but the question is, you have to make sure that at an administrative level, it gets expression by implementation. The AG, probably when he comes back again during this period when we go to the beautiful past, will have to restate what they said. There are areas where it is not easy to just let somebody go simply because the individual has resigned. There are judicial duties on the part of the institution of the state to ensure that that individual collaterally is responsible with the cost to the institution. And therefore, I think for me, that matter is a little bit awkward that we just say because the person resigned and it must be left as such. Can we get clarity on the sale of the... it's a very strange thing that you sell 10 billion, am I correct, barrels of to Zimbabwe. to a company that is, I must use the word, lawfully is not supposed to have received that. But I'm not sure of the estimated cost of that loss. What is the estimated cost? And at what point do we take action against those who sold into an unregistered company, if I can correct word that I'm using? So I'm quite worried. The last two things I wanted to raise, out of knowledge, there is 10 billion liters sold to Zimbabwe in an unlicensed company. The last issue, I know Praloid, I may call you Praloid. This may not, it doesn't affect you. I've got one unfortunate thing. When I speak truth, sometimes I don't make many friends. In the report of Nexa, I recall, there was a matter of dispute to an extent that there was a company appointed. There was supposed to be a solution between the then CEO. That's why I'm saying, let me extend my apology to you, Mr. Yabash. I can't see it here. I can't find it here. I know that it had financial implications. There was a matter that the person was suspended or dismissed and then was supposed to be reinstated. And in that period when the person was supposed to be reinstated, the contract expired. Then there was a dispute on how to settle the matter. I would have expected that if we deal with issues that relate even to CEOs and others whose contract expired and then they leave before, we will also, NEFA will help us and put something in this regard. I don't want to go to many of these other issues. Maybe also honorable members will try and assist on how can we take this process forward based on this thing. The last point, DG, I think it's a matter that really requires your attention, that at an administrative level, you have to, like you say, look at what are the most creative and innovative ways to deal with the financial challenges that we're dealing with here. We are putting these things here, and it must be understood, we put these things here simply because there is a general belief or narrative that says the state does not have money. And we're not saying the state does have money. We're saying if the state does not have money, then we should not waste money. And where money has been wasted and there's been gone where it's not supposed to do, let's recoup that money because it is needed somewhere. The mere fact that there could be such huge resources unaccounted for, it actually means they did not go where we have asked them to go to. So I want to, at this stage, to raise these issues and say, if we can be able to do our work in the manner that we are supposed to do, I think we can save a lot of resources from going into waste. Honorable Malinga, I saw your head. Let me give you also before the DG can respond on some of these things. I saw the DM that she was back. Honorable Malinga, is there any other member except Honorable Malinga? Okay, Honorable Malinga, continue.
Thank you, Chairperson. I just want to make a follow-up on, I think it's NERSA and NTP responses. Chairperson, I think the person who responded on behalf of NERSA said the CEO saw that he was underpaid, then engaged the CFO and other executives. One, payment of or a salary of somebody or any person is confidential. I don't know how this person got to know that he was underpaid. And I did not hear in the response, Chair, when did NERSA find out about this? Because the respondent says a letter was supposed to be written to correct this. When did they find out? And did after these people paid each other, was that ratified? How is it captured in their books? That maybe if I can get clarity on that one, Chair. Also on NTP, Chair, the person who responded says the person who was fraudulently awarded or unlawfully awarded the tender is still in the employ because they did not want to suspend the person. Is that even legal? If a tender is deemed to be unlawfully rewarded, shouldn't a person who is implicated step aside so that person does not hinder or impede investigation, Chairperson? I think with AE, Chair, I did not get it. Because the respondent said the project stopped 4 months. It was stopped within 4 months, and the project was to supply, I think it's machinery, if I'm correct, Chair, and only 40% of that work was done. What happened to the 60%? Did the entity cancel or are they no longer in need of that project? I could not get it, Chair, so that we know that and that the department does not bring back the same issue that AE was still in the process of this project. Thank you very much, Chair.
Okay, thank you, Honorable Malinga. The department, DM, also is present, or the DG.
Thank you so much, Chairperson of the Portfolio Committee. On behalf of the department, Chair, one wants to conclude that we are noting all the concerns that the committee is raising. One of them that we couldn't provide substantive responses to the Portfolio Committee is the issue around the investigations, how are they done, and what are the full findings. The second one, which is we don't seem to be serious about implementing the consequence management. The other one was in relation to disclose how much these investigations have costed us. And the other one was in relation to placing people to other positions if they've done wrongdoings as compared to dismissing them from the institution, as well as the concern around our IT system. Chair, I'm not going to be in details in my responses, but what I want to indicate is that amongst the issues that may be a result of our delays in terms of finalizing and processing the cases that we have in the department, basically more policy related, others are more of operational issues. One, Chair, there are cases that are normally referred to CCMA when the employee or that particular person that is affected feel that maybe she or he's not satisfied with the outcome of the internal disciplinary processes. So in terms of labor rights, an employee has a right to then refer the matter to the CCMA. And again, say when it happens that that particular employee is not happy with the award that has been awarded or the outcome of the hearing broadly between the employer and the CCMA and the particular person who is an applicant, then that particular person has a right to then challenge the award
to be set aside through referring the matter to the Labour Court. So those are some of the issues that may hinder the process of fast-tracking some of our cases and the disciplinary processes that we then come across with in the department. But amongst those issues, as we have indicated, that we have all the systems, the procedures and governance structures in place, Chair. They might be related to issues of the capacity of our labor relations component within the corporate services in this department. Chair, because we are noting with a great concern to some of the issues and concerns that we have as far as the quality of the presentation that we bring to the attention of the portfolio committee. Amongst the issues that we want to commit to the portfolio is that we are going to look at our labor relations component and assess it and evaluate it to see if they have all the capacity to then fast track all the outstanding cases that we have in the department. The chair will remember that the department is in a process of reviewing the organogram or organizational structure that we currently have. So those are some of the issues that may hinder the process of fast-tracking the cases that we have. But Chair, because we did not bring the details of some of the issues that the portfolio committee feels that they should be brought to the attention of the portfolio committee. We are also committing that we are going to develop an action plan, corrective action plan, as far as fruitless and wasteful expenditure is concerned, where it is going to provide all those details who was involved in this kind of irregular or fruitless expenditure, what were the reasons, what are the actions that have been taken, and provide the committee with progress reports from time to time. Chair, maybe in trying to then improve in our accountability as the portfolio, as the department as well, we are going to look at our policies and internal controls, because we did indicate that we review them from time to time and see if they are still assisting the department in executing its responsibilities. If we see some gaps there and there, then we will then review them to suit or to be able to address the current challenges that we are facing. Chair, with those concluding remarks, Chair, I'm going to hand over to NESA and SFF to then provide more details to some of the comments and concerns and questions that have been raised in the meeting. Thank you so much, Chairperson, for giving us an ear.
Zahir?
Hello, good morning, Chair and honourable members. I'll be stepping in for the Nexa Group CEO, Mr. Loiso. With regards, just responding to the question, we will, with regards to the historical matters, we will definitely be looking into those historical matters and report back accordingly. And with regards to the NTP whistleblowing matter, the investigation is still ongoing, and we cannot, suspend people for all whistleblowing matters until the matter has been, properly investigated and closed out. So that's basically the response for Nexa. Thank you.
Mr. Murphy.
Thank you, DJ. Thank you, Chairperson, honorable members, and departmental officials and colleagues. Chair, on the question of license in Zimbabwe, I think just to read that comment properly, it's meant for SFF. Actually, You know, SFF has no trading license in Zimbabwe. It's not referring to Lime Petroleum. The Lime Petroleum is the company which bought diesel from SFF because SFF could not trade or sell it in Zimbabwe because they didn't have a license. In terms of the cost, Chair, for the 10 million liters, you know, most recent calculation is 120 million rand. That's inclusive of interest, Chair. But what happened with that case, Chair, is SFF went to court to, you know, fight the case against Lime Petroleum. SFF won the case, Chair, and what then happened is we appointed a tracer to try to see if these guys have got assets in South Africa that we could sell and recover our money. Unfortunately, you know, it came out that they do not have assets in South Africa. What the attorneys are doing now is to actually try to check if they've got assets in Zimbabwe, and they probably quantify the value of those assets, and then we'll then follow them to Zimbabwe, Zimbabwean court, to actually try to recover the money. On the issue of strategic stock, Chair, the comment is taken, but maybe just for clarity, Chair, you know, the priority was to deal with a civil case to make sure that we actually protect our strategic stock. You know, as you know, the members may be aware, Chair, last year, November, the judge decided, you know, in our favor in terms of the illegality of the contract. But then we were facing the hedge losses, which we have appealed. You know, and now the update is that all the parties have filed their papers with the appeal court. And all we're waiting is for the date for the case, the appeal court, Chair, and then the criminal case and the employment case, Chair, are still ongoing, so we have not really concluded on the strategic stock, Chair. Thank you, Chair. Thank you, DJ.
Thank you, Chair.
Okay. Can I do something that I don't have never done before? Let's deal with the issue when we deal with matters arising on what should be the way forward on these issues. I'm still trying to program something in my mind. Do I agree with that, Honourable Members?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. We'll deal with the what will be the way forward when we deal with matters arising on the minute. Thank you, DM, DG. Your presentation and the entities of the department, as well as the staff of the committee. Is there any other matter boss are supposed to deal with?
No, Chair, that's the only agenda for today.
Honourable Members, let's deal with the issues tomorrow at 9 o'clock again. Now you are released to take some fresh air and prepare for the afternoon sitting. Thank you to the department. Thank you to all of you honorable members, the staff, and everyone present here. The meeting stands adjourned. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Chair.
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 Mommy.
You sound depressed.
Malina.
Hi, Miss Boss.
How are you?
The depressed chair. Neither school, fellow chairperson.
Hi,
bye-bye.
Stop. I shall take it silent. Bye-bye. Matros?
Yes, boss.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good, my darling.
Mm-hmm. You know, I'm the last person to leave.
Yeah, me and you, Kaluk. I'm just one person.
It's a tradition. It's a tradition.
Yeah, who's that? Cecil.
Hey, Cecil is born in.
I'm not sure if you're going to be able to join. Yeah, good. Bye-bye. We'll talk for me.
Okay, my dear.
Bye.
Sure, bye.